Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. I am so delighted this morning to have as my guest a dear colleague and friend, Pete Walsh. And let me tell you about him. He came out of a very successful family business in Phoenix and has emerged on his own into an astounding coach. He even coached me for a while in Phoenix as I was going through some transitions. And in the pre-show, I was telling him that being in his presence was like getting a long drink of water after a hard ride through the desert. He is an amazing talent, a man of integrity and wisdom and profound thought. He's been a business leader for over 20 years, and he works with mid-size organizations and specializes in family businesses wanting to create a high-performance culture. He's the founder of Peak Workout Business Coaching in Phoenix, Arizona, and he is the author of several short coaching videos that can be seen at peakcoach.com, P-E-A-K coach.com. Without further ado, welcome, Pete.
Laurie, thank you very much for having me here this morning. It's great to be with you again, and I just love your presence. So thank you for asking me to be here with you this morning.
Well, Pete, we've had just a really long working relationship, and let's just dive in right now on why is coaching the most effective form of leadership today?
You know, I really think people are looking for more meaning. They're looking for more purpose. I think you'd probably agree with that. And there's so much noise and so many issues in the marketplace that I think coaching really helps people focus their energy on their potential, on getting better at what they do, being more competitive, producing higher levels of results. And I think that's also what's needed in the marketplace today. And I think when you look, coaches create relationships and loyalty that last for lifetimes. And I think business owners and leaders, you know, that's not always the case. But when you can become a coaching leader, you can really inspire people to new levels of personal and organizational performance. And I think that's the reason it's the right leadership style for today.
You know, just quickly, as I was coaching, I coached some executives, and I get to work with their entire team. And just last week, I had one man singing to me, all is well with my soul. And then I had another high-level CEO begin to weep about some things that were going on in his life. And then I actually went out and shot baskets with someone else to make, you know, help them keep the ball moving. And I just thought, what a blessed experience. And I know that you really are all about that, going deep with people and getting to the heart of the matter, because everything flows from the heart. So you have here the 10 mistakes leaders make that undermine their ability to lead. What are they? Let's tick them off.
Well, the first is that they can't model. They can't walk the talk. You know, they can't do what they say that they're asking from others. And that's something that happens very common. The other is overemphasis on money. I mean, sometimes companies talk about potential and performance, but certain things occur and we see that there's too much emphasis on the financial return.
Mm-hmm.
The third is toxic culture. So again, sometimes some cultures, even though they're talking certain things, they're trying to create the right atmosphere, for a number of reasons, their culture just really doesn't support that kind of conversation. The fourth is misaligned assistants, so that the leader's saying one thing, but the people that they're putting around them are really saying and doing something else. And so that happens. The other is, you know, holding on to poor performers. So some leaders, you know, and this is obviously a very difficult and tricky spot for leaders, but some leaders will hold on to people that are just, you know, they're not performing and they're probably not going to perform at the level they need to. And that really undermines the team. The next is no patience. You know, it takes a little bit of patience and vision to know and to hold on and to take the time it takes to develop people. The next is there are certain people that are uncoachable. And so you got to realize that. And I don't know why that is. And, you know, you and I, we work with a lot of different people, but you come across some people that just don't have an open mind. They're not coachable. The next is a lack of skill. So, you know, my niece, her softball coach said she's got two things you can't coach in, height and speed. And so there are certain inherent skills that some people may not have for a certain role.
Right.
And the last two are lack of focus and lack of consistency.
Mm.
And one of the things I hear most from leaders, and when I talk to leaders about being a coaching leader, is they say that they lack the consistent, deliberate approach to really being a coaching leader on a day-to-day basis. So it kind of comes and goes for them.
Right.
And I think greatness, and I think you probably agree, greatness really happens with a high level of consistency.
Wow.
Doing certain things right time and time again.
Yes, and then being willing to wait for that to catch up. I saw the movie Moneyball last night, and it is all about leadership coaching and how he brought an analytical approach to baseball that really turned things around. And in the middle, it was so messy and looked like a total failure, but he just stayed with the approach that he knew would work, and it came true. Now, you are so big in the family business coaching arena. What are some of the challenges that family businesses have?
Where should we begin? Where should we begin? You know, it's interesting. Our relationships with our families of origin, we call it sometimes, are just so supercharged with emotions and all that energy and trying to make things right. And so first and foremost with a family business is to separate business performance from family history. And that's difficult for a lot of people to do. So what I'm doing is working with a lot of Fortune 500 companies, really learning and watching what they do to really be high-performing organizations, and then trying to take those practices into the family business and say, this is what businesses do that are great businesses, and then help the family separate business practices from family issues. And for so many family businesses, those are all tangled together.
Yeah,
and they lose focus and objectivity.
Sibling rivalry and trying to please dad or get back at mom or all those things.
Well, and you know, the other thing, Lori Beth, that I work a lot on in my own personal life and with others is what I call lightness, LIGHTNESS, lightness. And so, you know, bringing a little bit of a different spirit, a different mindset to things, because we get so emotionally charged, and when we can bring some lightness, we can laugh at ourselves a little bit, we can love each other a little bit more, we can forgive each other, and so much of what we get tangled up about is really not that important in the whole scheme of things.
Well, I was reading somewhere that family businesses comprise, maybe you know the statistics, something like...
Yeah, I just read it again the other day. It's like 70% of all businesses are family businesses.
Yes.
And which is pretty amazing. And the other thing, though, is that the family businesses tend to last longer in many cases. Now, there is the statistic that many don't get passed along, but many of them last longer and produce higher returns than, you know, the public, just the corporate America. And it's very interesting. And I think of it as business with a soul. You know, so the companies that I work with, they're operating a business, but they do have some really rich and warm history and love and some of these family values woven in. And that's special. That's special. That's where business and spirit and heart can come together.
Well, you know, when you look at the biblical model of business, which I've studied quite a bit, I was tickled and kind of astounded. You had Cain and Abel in the family business, and we know how that turned out. You had Jacob working in the family business. You had Moses working in a family business, you know, when he became a shepherd for his wife's father. And it goes, Joseph in the coat of many colors, you know, he was in the family business, and there was jealousy, and he got spit out. And it's just time and time again. Even the prodigal son is a story of really a family business.
Yeah.
I want my half, I'm taking it now. So the fact that you have been anointed and empowered and gifted to bring soul and lightness to that mass of energy that's so important to our economy. I mean, what a gift you are, Pete, to society, really.
Well, thank you. And it's, you know, as you know, it takes hard work and focus, and I, you know, I want to say to the families that it's not always easy. I know that. And so give themselves a little bit of a pat on the back for doing the work that they do in the family business. But the other thing is to bring objectivity to it. Again, my job is just to stand back a little bit and hold the mirror up and help them see things they're either unwilling or unable to see. But then work with them in a way that's got a lot of compassion and dignity and humor and really restore kind of some pride and vision to their business. Because that's usually there, but it gets lost a little bit.
Right. And I think that reflective coaching, I was working with another client the other day, and they're in an increasingly restrictive legal environment. I mean, the laws are just getting tighter and tighter and tighter about what they can do. And I said, the thinking that you need is not going to come from within your industry because they are all in the same box, and they see the box getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I think that's the value of a coach, to be able to be outside the box and say, have you thought about this? And I know you're really good about that. Have you thought about this? Well, I wonder what is this?
Well, and really teaching them to have that mindset all the time. I read a great article last week. Carol Dweck is a professor at Stanford, and she's doing wonderful work about how when people have an open mind, when they have and they expect new things to be going on, it really impacts their results. And I think you probably feel the same way, but I think we get what we focus on. And so as coaches, we're giving them permission to dream and to focus on other possibilities.
Yes. So in the next 45 seconds, give us your closing thoughts on coaching and how it helps people.
Well, there's a body of research that talks about deliberate practice. And so I think coaching is about really helping people identify the certain sets of practices they need to practice day in and day out to be better. And then your coach holds you accountable, stretches you and holds you accountable to achieving that. And I think it's a very special relationship that I know I enjoy with my clients, and I enjoy with the coach that coaches me. So I think coaching is a very special relationship.
Wow. Pete, thank you so much for taking the time with me today and with our many listeners really from around the world. I invite our listeners to check Pete Walsh out at peakcoach.com. You will be blessed. Pete, thank you for holding up things in Phoenix, Arizona, and for being my friend.
Thanks, Lori Beth. Love you, and have a great day, and you're making a huge difference.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Thanks.
Blessings
to
all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.